Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Celebrate Truth Radio. I'm your host, Robbie Davidson. We've got an awesome guest for you tonight. Guess what? It's Black Lives Matter hijacked. We're going to be getting into so much of what's going on. Wow. 2020. There's just so much to talk about. My special guest tonight is a researcher, activist, building some incredible tools for the community. As far as resources, he's going to be talking about so much tonight. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest tonight, Val Owens. Val, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing?
Dude, man, I'm so good. Like, it's just crazy. Like, 2020, I had to get you on talking about everything that has been happening with you. And I'm sure you've been keeping pretty busy.
You have no idea. The media keeps us busy. Trying to tune them out and tune in, both of it keep us busy.
No doubt. I hear you. Well, for people that aren't familiar with Val Owens, maybe you could go into a little bit of your background just to explain a little bit more about yourself so people could become familiar with who you are and what your beliefs are.
No problem. Where do I start? We'll go from the history. I grew up son of a Baptist minister. I went my own path from, you know, the streets, just the music industry and love for, you know, the rap and the hip hop. And it was a journey. It was a journey. And it took almost two decades for me to come to the knowledge of truth, even though I was raised in the truth, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, I was working in Miami for the celebrity DJ Khaled. I was working for him for almost 4 years, doing marketing, building his websites and different things. And I was supposed to venture off and start doing music. And I just got exposed to the industry, and I didn't like the fakeness of it. And I decided to take a break. And during that break, I got scammed in the industry. I'm trying to cut the story short.
Sure.
So I got scammed in the industry, and that led me on this knowledge, this quest for, you know, truth. And you know where this is going. It led me into the new age. It led me into all of from Buddhism to studying all of this stuff. And it got to the point where I was experimenting with the magic mushroom, just trying to find that enlightenment that Terrence McKenna talked about and other, you know, other folks talked about. And during that, you know, experience, I ended up realizing that I wasn't it, because the whole point of the New Age beliefs is they're teaching you that you are God, you know, mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. you are the inner Christ, you are the Christ awakening. And through that whole experience, thanks to my upbringing, I saw the lie in it all. Mm-hmm. And that led me into researching the Bible, reading it front to back, and that led me to you guys. It led me to flat earth. It led me to the Torah observing, and then it led me to just the reading the Bible for myself and coming to the truth. From that, it's been ups and down, you know, dabbling back and forth. But one thing we can't deny and one thing we can't untake is the red pill. So that's my introduction. I took that red pill and I can't escape from it. I can't escape from it.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's kind of like I say, and even when it comes to like the flat you were talking about, once you go flat, you can't go back, right? It's the same thing. Once you take the red pill, it's like, you know, your world is forever changed. There's no way to go back to the way you looked at things beforehand.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just all completely at that point where you've kind of just been able to see, you know, these truths is what you're talking about. And I mean, 2020, I mean, think about all the years leading up to this year. But now this year, it just seems like, I mean, it's just red pill on steroids.
It's wild. It's wild and crazy. And if you don't have the eyes to see, you can be, like, as the title say, you can be hijacked. It can take you over if you don't have the eyes to see the truth.
Yeah, exactly. And you're talking, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show when we were talking about racism. We're going to be getting into that because obviously the title of the show tonight is Black Lives Matter Hijacked. And we're talking, you know, really with kind of the mainstream push of what, you know, you're seeing right now. And maybe you can go into a little bit of detail on what maybe some of the red flags you've seen, where do you think that it even got, you know, hijacked? Because, I mean, overall, I think most people that I talk to, you know, racist is not a good thing to be. I mean, you know, especially as a believer's brother, you know, yes, all people were created in the image of God, right? All, exactly. You know, people, you know, so this type of idea where, you know, all these race wars and stuff that they want to create, maybe you can kind of go back a little bit and kind of explain, you know, as you've seen this transition, where do you think it really went off track? Where all of a sudden it was just not about certain things, but now it got to a point where, you know, the stuff that they're pushing now, where, to tell you the truth, in ways, you know, you start flying the flag, Black Lives Matter. And when someone says, hey, all lives matter, and they're like, you know, you racist. Right? To me, Black Lives Matter in itself is very racist.
Okay. In the beginning, the Black Lives Matter was a hashtag. And I was all for that. I was all for the hashtag. Mm-hmm. But it didn't last long because the hashtag did exactly what the church with the, you know, with the 501c3, it did exactly what happened with the church. It turned into a corporation. Mm-hmm. And anytime it turned into corporation, things get all twisted. So yeah, the Black Lives Matter went, it was created on a lie. And that's another thing. When it's created on a lie, how can truth come from it? I know a lot, you know, I know a lot of people are going to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, how can you say this? Well, when you go back and you look at what happened with Michael Brown and the hands up, don't shoot. And you do the research and you find out what his friend said. You know, not, I know a lot of Black folks, oh, they lied in the court. You know, the white folks lying, the white folks lying, white folks this. No, when you find out what his friend said and what the people that around the scene that saw his body laying out in the street, because they left his body in the street. Yeah. When you find out what they said that his hands wasn't up. His hands wasn't up. So when you look at the hands up, don't shoot narrative that it never happened. And then Black Lives Matter come from that. Now you start seeing, like, where, you know, what happened?
Yeah.
That's the big question, is what happened? And the media happened. Money happened. I think it was a week and a half ago, I pointed out on the Woke Journalist site how when you go to Black Lives Matter and you go and you click the donate button, it takes you to a whole nother site. It takes you to Act Blue, you know, and this Act Blue processor, a payment processor, they have the option for PayPal. PayPal is like, and you guys could correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm going off mine. I think it's 2.3%.
And that sounds about right. About 3%. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the Act Blue is almost close to 4%.
Mm.
So why do they have this option? Now, for the last couple of years, they've been, not a couple, but for the last 2 years, they've been talking about Donald Trump getting you know, payments from Russia, and Russia supported this and Russia supported that. He had outside funding. Okay, so when you look at this Act Blue processor and you read the terms and you read what they stand for, you see that through Act Blue, they allow anonymous payments worldwide. So that means a terrorist can go there. This isn't, you know, this isn't my opinion. Go look it up. That means anybody can go there and anonymously donate to Act Blue. Now, Act Blue is a Democratic affiliated payment process. It says that right there on Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is like political. This is like, you know, injecting money into the political system. I mean, especially when all of a sudden some, you know, researchers have looked into it and very little is actually going to the cause. You know what I mean? So to speak. So the question is, what's happening with all the other money? You know, because there were certain, you know, amount of fundraising for certain initiatives. But, you know, so far, I don't think that many people have found that, you know, a very small percentage are actually going to where they said. But besides that, you're right. I mean, we should be suspicious of these things. But the question is, even when you go to Black Lives Matter and you see what they're about, I mean, they are so much bigger than just this whole race thing.
It's more about they talk about more LGBTQ, all these, you know, things more than they talk about blacks.
Correct. Correct. And that's when you know that something's up. Right. Because, again, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, being proud and saying, hey, yo. But when all of a sudden you go to their own website and anyone can do this and you will see that it's all about everything pushing the LGBT and all these different initiatives. And you're kind of like, wait a minute. That kind of seems a little strange, you know? Why doesn't just the LGBT push their stuff? Black Lives Matter push, you know, racial equality, you know, this organization. But when you see this kind of overarching, and I mean, dude, the power that we have seen with BLM, it's unbelievable. I thought the transgendered or the LGBT community had power, but with what we're seeing and we're witnessing live right before our eyes, the power that BLM has politically and just even within the system, I mean, they literally have taken over six blocks in Seattle. What's your thoughts on that?
When you look at the movie The Matrix and you see how the agents were able to jump into the people that were still connected to The Matrix, this is what you're seeing with Black Lives Matter in the media, because people, they believe what they see. And we're living in a time you can't believe what you see. Because, and I say this for this, when you watch George Floyd, you know, being killed, the media never showed three cops. They always showed the one.
Correct.
They had all the footage. Yeah. Why continue showing black people, the white guy, on the neck instead of showing that there is a black guy? I mean, George, he gave you guys a hint. He said, it hurts all over. My back, my legs, my neck, officer, it hurts all over. It was a reason he was saying that, because there was more than one person on his neck. So when you have all these lies and you have these narratives, you have a whole bunch of sleep people out there in the streets waving signs. And the problem is they're protesting for the wrong thing. Instead of protesting for police department reformation, they're protesting for Black Lives Matter. So guess what? Just like you saw what happened in Atlanta, it's going to continue happening.
Yeah.
It's going to continue because they're not reforming the police department. Yeah. And I know people going to, I know they're already in the comments. Well, you know, oh, I know he's talking about Georgia. Now, my opinion on that is that the guy, Rashard, he earned himself a bullet. You know, you don't wrestle a taser from the cop. You don't go turn around to shoot a cop.
Well, it could have gone down a whole other way. If he had just been calm and he had just gone down and, you know, nothing would have gone down like that. Because you can see, if you look at what the mainstream media are showing, which is just all the aggressive parts. But, I mean, for a very long period, they were calm, patient with them. They talked with them. You know what I mean? And they put him in very, not aggressively. They just said, turn around. You know, we've got to arrest you. And then all of a sudden, he just starts busting out. You know what I mean? And away he goes. Now, I'm a white guy. If I was in the same position and I carried on with those cops, the same thing would have happened. I guarantee, especially if I grab their stun gun and I start, like, you know, hitting them with it and running away. I'm pretty sure that anyone, you know, it comes down. I look at it more like this, you know, and this is kind of my thing, Val, is I'm looking at it more like there's more class war than there is a race war. I don't know. What's your take on that?
Explain what you mean by class.
Well, what I mean by that is it's for example, if all of a sudden, you know, someone comes walking around and stuff like that, like the same lot in life if a white person is growing up without a father, he's fatherless, you know what I mean? He's kind of joined a gang and stuff. Like, he's still prone to those paths. I mean, I'm not saying that all people in poverty are going to get into criminal activity. But what I'm saying is I don't think it's so much more, you know, the skin color. It's more, I mean, I have always said this, man. We do not have a skin problem. We have a sin problem. And that's what it is, man. It's sin, man. It's a prone to being sinful and not, you know, respecting authority, not respecting the police officers. I mean, most people that I've talked to that just are respectful, carry on, nothing like that ever happens. So what I'm saying is what I'm seeing a lot of the times right now is, you know, and I guess he was really concerned. He didn't want to go back to jail. I guess, you know, you've probably looked into his past. You can talk a little bit more about, you know, who he was, but I'm sure he was quite nervous, right? I mean, the minute that happens, all of a sudden it doesn't look good for him if he was just, he broke his parole or something. But have you looked into him much as far as, you know, I heard different conflicting stories, but that's why I got you on is to talk about, you know, the research you've done on him. You know, was he in and out of prison?
I mean, yes, but at the same time, it's what we talked about before the show. And I said that I believe systematic racism is done away with, and we're now living in a time of systematic programming. Mm-hmm. And when I say systematic programming, we as blacks, we're reminded probably now it looks like it's going to be at least twice. But we're reminded twice every year about what the whites did to us.
Yeah.
You know, the beatings, the racist cops of the 60s and the 50s. Like, how can our children, like, imagine this? We're saying, oh, go to school with your white brothers and sisters. We all lives matter. All things matter. But we're going to continue. We don't want you to forget. We don't want you to forget what they did to us. Watch these horrific scenes. Watch what they did to us. Now, go and drive in the streets. So when you see a police officer, just like growing up, even before I started getting in trouble, whenever I saw a police officer, because of this systematic programming, my stomach dropped down to my foot. I didn't know whether to look him in the eye. And it's how, as a black man, it's how I don't know whether I got how many black folks are in the audience listening. But from growing up, the moment I was old enough to understand what the police was, I was receiving warnings from older black folks, you know, don't look him in the eye. Don't ask him no questions. Don't do this. Mm-hmm. So we're instilled with that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that we're going to get past it is, I think Morgan Freeman said it, we have to stop.
Yeah. Stop talking about it. I mean, for you right now, though, like, when's the last time you were absolutely fearful of a police presence? Like, you know, or do you still have that feeling, or is it now at the point where you actually feel safe when police are around? How is it for you now? Like, let's just say here in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, it's still almost like a spider sense, you know, that goes off when you see it, but you correct yourself.
Gotcha.
You know, you have to take, I'm not doing nothing wrong.
Well, have you had some encounters? Like, have you had some encounters with the police in the last few years where you had like a interaction, like whether it was being pulled over or, you know, asked some questions? Have you had that happen?
All positive. I'm on child support where I have back child support. You know, I didn't know about it, but since I didn't know about it, it went up to almost like 20 grand.
Okay.
So with that being said, when you have rears that high, they suspend your license.
I have a friend actually just happened. Actually, it was kind of an incident that took place. And I guess him and his ex, they had just canceled it. But in the system, it was still there that he had some late fees, like $300 and like some interest. Anyways, they impounded his car. But he, you know, he was talking with the police officer. And he said it was an okay, you know, interaction. But let's go back to your story. So then obviously he stops you, says, hey, sorry, you know, we're going to have to do this because, you know, on the computer saying this. And you said the interaction went okay.
Yeah, it went okay. I'm driving. It was 2:30 in the morning. The wife woke me up and she said, I forgot to tell you we needed pull-ups. So I get in the car. I drive to Walmart. I'm close to Walmart and all of a sudden I see bright lights. And I'm like, oh, Lord, what do I do? You know, I wasn't speeding. And he got behind. He's like, did you know your license was suspended? And I said, no. He's like, well, let me see what's going on here. And he looked it up and he's like, child support. And, you know, and he goes, my brother-in-law has the same problem. You know what I mean? So he's already understanding. He said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be on the honor system here. I need you to get out your car. Actually, I need you to park your car and I need you to get out. And I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm like, just let me call my wife and let her know I'm going to jail. He said, no. He said, you're going to be on the honor system. You're going to keep your keys and you got to walk home. He said, I'm only going to park here and finish my sandwich for 15 minutes, but I'm going to leave you on the honor system and I'm driving off and I'm going to trust you not to get in your vehicle. It took me an hour to walk home. But, you know, it's understandable. That's the law.
Sure. So, he's just doing his job. I mean, obviously he has to do that because, I mean, usually, you know, in Canada, it's a organization called Maintenance Enforcement. And that organization, you know, has ties with the police and they'll just flag it. But really, it's not him doing anything. He's just obeying the orders based on this is what happens if someone, you know, we've got to, you know, suspend their license. But, okay, so was this police officer, like, what ethnic background was he?
He was white. And like I said, that was a positive base compared to what I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. This was, you know, that's almost like getting pulled over by a saint compared to what I grew up.
What state was this? What city was this?
This Florida, this is Port Orange. I live in Port Orange, Florida. So this
that's pretty amazing because, I mean, I've heard stories about Florida and they hear the police are really, you know, overall, you know, can be fairly aggressive in Florida. But I've just heard stories. But again, I've heard stories, right? Again, am I stereotyping? Am I taking these stories and applying it? Again, it's the idea that, you know, one bad encounter, all police are wrong, are bad. I mean, this is crazy that people are assessing that all police are bad from the actions of a few.
I mean, if I was going to believe that, I could go off, you know, what happened when I turned 18. When I turned 18, I was, like I said, I was a rebel or getting in trouble and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in my mother's car. I'm driving and I knew, I forgot. I didn't feel like getting pulled over. I was speeding. I was probably going like 60 in the 30, and the cops got behind me. And I'm gonna run, and I ran, and I ended up on a dead end street. Okay. And I could have went through a fence and ended up on the other side, but I was like, I'm in my mom's car. She don't deserve me wrecking her car any damage. Yeah. So I got out the car, and the cops stopped. They surrounded. He said, "Put your hands up. Now get on your knees." And I got on my knees and he said, interlock your hands. And then he goes, I said, put your hands up. You know, so I'm like, what do you want me to do? And he said, I put your hands behind your back. So I put my hand behind my back and he ran over and kicked me in the face. And then he threw me down to the ground. He shoved this. Me and my dad was just talking about this last night. He shoved his foot in my back and then he kicked me in the side of my ribs.
Wow.
Yeah, so then he went to search. He said, you got any weapons on you? I was 18, dude. I had just got through watching television. I had went to the flea market. And I bought some Ninja Stars. Don't ask me why, people. I don't know why I bought Ninja Stars, but they were 99 cents and they were real. So I bought them. And I said, I have Ninja Stars.
Who didn't have Ninja Stars, boy, growing up? I had Ninja Stars at one point. I wanted to be a ninja when I was young.
Yes. So he said, you got Ninja Stars on you? You know Kung Fu? I said, no, officer, I don't know. He said, if you stand up and you fight me right now, I'll let you go. I said, I'm not going to fight you, officer. You know, so then he punched me down to the ground and he proceeded to arrest me. And then he put me in the back seat and he told me, he said, listen, I'm going to write this report. But if you mention anything in the courts, what happened today, you will never have a moment's rest. So fast forward a day later, I'm standing in front of the judge. He was reading the report. He said, man, you must have an amazing officer. And I just looked up. He's like, because here it lists you evading the police. You ran from the police. But he only charged you with reckless driving. So he sees this mark across my face. He says, so he pulls me. My dad's sitting in the back row. I've already talked to him when I first got arrested, told him everything. And he calls me up to the bench. He says, son, is there anything you want to tell me? I looked at my dad. I looked at the officer and he just stared. And I looked at the judge. I said, no, Your Honor. He said, OK, then consider you're lucky today. I'm releasing you on your own recognizance.
Mm.
That was my experience.
So did you make this police officer run? Did he have to run after you for quite a while or anything like that?
No, I immediately turned on a side street that happened to be a dead end.
Okay, but he was chasing you for a bit.
No, I'm driving. He sees me.
Okay.
I hit the gas, make a left.
Okay.
Young and dumb, turned on a dead end street.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, see, I think a lot of the times when it comes down to stuff like that, I think it's just frustration. I think it's more, you know, issues with certain police officers that probably got a short fuse. They're annoyed. They're irritated. You know, some that, you know, have to chase for a while, and then they get a little bit aggressive. But I do know that there are bad police out there. There's no doubt, right? But the idea that, like, the majority are awful, I mean, that's just not true whatsoever, right? I guess the question is, you know, how do we, you know, do things different with the police? But I'm a big believer on, man, we got to support law and order, you know? We've got to be behind them. I mean, they're leaving in droves right now. I don't know if you've been reading or whatever, but, like, Atlanta, and we'll talk more about Atlanta, but a lot of police across America are getting fed up. I mean, they're getting to a point where they're like, listen, man, I don't risk my life. You know what I mean? Like now the point where, you know, someone can get charged and face the death penalty for what we witnessed in Atlanta. I mean, you know, if I was a police officer, I don't know if I'd want to continue on doing it, you know?
Exactly.
It's pretty insane. I mean, these things happen, but I was talking to someone the other day and I said, you know what's interesting though? There's, I mean, 350 million people in America. Overall, I mean, and again, everyone's got body cameras and cell phones and stuff. These instances don't happen, you know, that often. I mean, they do happen, and I know what happens. But again, especially with Black Lives Matter, why aren't they talking about black-on-black violence, which statistically, I mean, this is just the stats. This is just the truth, that there's a way bigger problem on black-on-black deaths, murder, violence. I mean, all those things. Why aren't they making more changes within their own communities? What do you think about that?
Because we're being told that all of this is racism. So the narrative is you have to get rid of the racism to start with the community.
Gotcha. it's all kind of the white man's fault. I mean, it's all about white privilege. I mean, just being born white, I guess, you know, these ideas. But it's unbelievable to me how many people are buying this hook, line, and sinker. You know, they're all of a sudden, you know, I mean, all the things that's been transpiring, it's just unbelievable to me what exactly is going down. This whole idea, like you mentioned, I mean, this stuff happened a long time ago, right? These people are long gone, right? They're not even around anymore. I mean, if you look at America, I've said this before, what company in America have a rule that we will not hire a black person? Name one company. I mean, it doesn't exist, right? Like these ideas that, like, they're so, it's just so entrenched. But like you had mentioned, making someone a victim, making them continually feel like you need these organizations to fight for their rights. And to me, I believe that they're taking advantage of the black communities. You know, what's interesting is a lot of people don't understand, but it's the Republicans that were the ones that freed the slaves. I mean, the first black person in Congress was a Republican. I mean, if you start looking at actually the two parties, it was the Democrats that were wanting to keep the slaves enslaved. Have you done much research on the parties? And I'm not going to get into, you know, the right, left, all these type of things. But it is interesting how this idea overall is that the Democrats are all about liberation, where the Republicans are all, you know, white supremacists, KKK. They just want to keep everyone enslaved. But that's not what history shows.
It's playing catch up. We're playing catch up. That's the problem when I say black folks. We are playing catch up because we have to admit that there was a time that systematic racism did exist. I don't believe that it still exists.
Correct.
I believe that, you know, it's been done away with. But the problem is we're still playing catch up from it. And we don't know we're playing catch up. Just like the argument I see a lot of people make is, oh, what about the black abortion rate? How can we know that's a problem when it's only few of us, you know, that are waking up to understand that it's wrong? Kids are being taught in school that abortion is an option, and it's a legal option. It's an option, affordable option, so that you can live your best life.
Sure.
So how can we, you know, how do we know to fix it if we don't know it's broken?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point, especially getting into that idea when you're starting talking about the life of the unborn, right? And you've been pretty passionate about that for many years, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a father of four. You know, I've been married 10 years. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm thankful for it. Got a wonderful wife. But the problem is we don't know it's a problem. When you talk to people out there, you talk to the black folks, they don't know about Planned Parenthood. They don't know about the agenda against blacks. And the problem is in the black community, we don't have the leaders that's needed. We don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Martin Luther King tried to lead, you know, he got shot. He got shot in the neck because this was during the time, you know, his family sued for $1 just to prove that the government had something to do with it, his murder, mm-hmm. and won.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that there was a time that there was a stoppage on black leaders rising in the community.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, there's no doubt if you go back in history, I mean, it existed. The question is, in today's age, you know, is it at the point what the media would try to portray, right? And have people, you know, continually, like you mentioned, being programmed, continually thinking that you're just being oppressed every day of your life. Every day you wake up, you know, you're being oppressed. But then you look around and you look at these really successful black people that have just applied themselves. Maybe they had better surroundings. I mean, really, when you look at it, and I think Denzel, you know, and you mentioned a couple of other people that have, you know, said these quotes, but usually it comes down to a mother and father, a good family unit goes a long way. Goes a long way. And there's no doubt there's a huge problem with fathers leaving the families, especially proportionally high in the black communities, right? But
that's
when you look back in history,
problem.
Yes, but they used to give them a bonus. I don't know if you've looked into this, but in order to get those handouts that happened there, that the father could not be in the picture. So like, if you actually look at where it stemmed from, it was like a trend that took place because you would get more money if the father wasn't there, and it encouraged fathers to like take off for a while or just take off indefinitely. So this stuff went on, but this whole idea that continually, you know, it's continuing on to the extent that it was. I just look at it like, you know, if you're in, say, the project environment and you're Hispanic or you're white or you're black and you have the same kind of, you know, surroundings, you have the same past, you got the same influences, you've got, you know, the dad's gone, you know, you've got a bad environment, the chances of you probably ending up in prison are pretty much similar, you know, statistically speaking, right? So, like, do you look at it sometimes that a lot of this fighting is not so much racism, but it's more of that, you know, we need someone to blame rather than doing something about it?
It's just, we need leaders, you know, in the black community. That's the major problem. We need leaders. Without leaders, you know, how can we survive? How, you know, we don't even know, the black community don't even know where we come from. I was going over this with my father about just the outer Africa story. And I'm looking it up now. A lot of people don't know this. So I'm looking it up. Here it goes. The outer Africa story. How can we get a grip on our reality, or find our foundation, when we don't even know where we come from? So the entire fictional story about the African slave trade came from a bigoted scientist named Melville Jean Herskovitz. Prior to his story, there's no information in history existed about an African slave trade. Now, I'm going to pause right here. I'm not saying the African slave trade didn't happen. Mm-hmm. We're talking about how it happened, where it originated from, and different things like this. So back to what I'm saying. This explains why the so-called African American cannot claim dual citizenship and are not claimed by Africa in any way. Mm. So think about that. Africa has never claimed African Americans nor asked for any type of reparations. Mm-hmm. So according to the 1838 dictionary by Noah Webster, the definition of American was a native of America originally applied to aboriginals or copper-colored races found by the Europeans, but now applied to the descendants of Europeans born in America. Now I'm getting to the point. Melville allegedly took a trip to Africa, gathered a few artifacts, met with a few tribes, came back to America in the early 1900s, wrote a book called The Book of the Negro Past, and published it in a fictional section. He then went on to teach this to many black leaders of that day and government. And then, not to mention, the 1924 Racial Integrity Act gave government officials permission to destroy early census. That would prove, you know, would actually prove the truth. So with me saying this, we don't even know. We're wearing kente cloths. We're praying to ancestors, like we're all over the place. Mm-hmm. So how, if we don't know what our origins, we don't know our foundations, we don't, you know, we don't even know where we come from, how can we get a proper footing? And that's what I'm trying to, that's what I'm starting with. This is what I'm telling my son. This is what I'm passing down to my sons, my cousins, my brother, anybody that I'm talking to.
Yeah.
So that maybe we can raise a leader that just stands up and come forward.
And so as far as that, we were talking a little bit about George Floyd, and just so you can go on the record, regardless of the intricacies of, you know, how it went down, overall, with what we witnessed and what we saw, because I have yet to find someone that thought that was okay. I mean, I think it was reprehensible. I think it was tragic. It shouldn't have happened. And I think the officers should be charged. What do you think?
Yeah, he deserved to be charged. A lot of times I agree with Candace Owens, but on this particular one, I don't agree with her bringing up his past. And this is why.
It's irrelevant. He didn't ask to be
a martyr.
And that's irrelevant.
If his last words, if a knee on his neck and he looked into the cameras and said, remember me. Come on, guy. I'm sorry this is happening to you, but come on. But he didn't. He cried out for his mama, and he cried out. He said, I can't breathe. So that's where I took that from. He didn't ask for this. She needs to attack Black Lives Matter. She needs to attack, the media that's pushing this narrative, and Tifa. She need to attack those folks because everything is being hijacked.
Yeah, I think it's probably just so much frustration. And she's like, you know, I know exactly who you're talking about. But what I'm saying is that event took place and now we're seeing everything unfold. But my point is this. I have yet to see any group or anyone that thought that was good, that what was done to George Floyd. Wherever you stand on the topic, I'm just saying wherever it was, I have yet to find anyone that was cheering it on saying, right on, he deserved it. Or, you know what I mean? I mean, nobody in the right mind could say it over what fraud or whatever. It doesn't matter. His past is irrelevant, right? His past is irrelevant on that situation. So my point is, you know, based on what we witnessed, should a police officer continue to do that in the future? And your answer right now is saying, no, that should not be acceptable, correct?
It should be acceptable, but you're also given an excuse to it when you post pictures of his past.
Yeah. And I think we're both in agreement here as far as, and again, he has no choice in becoming a martyr. But the whole point is, why would you bring up someone's past? I mean, if you're sick and tired of seeing someone celebrated as a saint, you can basically contrast it with his past. I understand that, right?
Yes.
You're like, oh, he was a good choir boy. He went to church. He helped little old women across the street every day. And you're like, yeah, but he also did, right? To balance it out. I understand that. But I'm just saying, overall, does anyone, no matter what crime they're doing, deserve to die that way, if that's the case? And I think you and I are in agreement saying no, right?
No.
So that was my point, though. What part of that event was racist in America, where it created this massive polarization? It wasn't there. It was almost created. Well, it was created. This race war had to ensue to make it bigger than what it was, because nobody, and I mean nobody, I looked around everywhere, nobody, usually with those other ones, and you will know the names, there'll always be these other angles, right? Well, he was resisting arrest. We'll talk about Atlanta here in a second. You and I both agree with that scenario. But what I'm saying is, we could see that. Well, with George Floyd, we just couldn't see anything. It didn't deserve that. It wasn't like he was grabbing their guns and, you know what I mean? So in this particular case, my point is, because this sets a foundation, because we've seen an explosion of just rebellion and looting and rioting, and just to an extent we've never seen yet in many, many years, over something that everyone was in unison saying the police. And here's the crazy thing. He was literally charged instantly, right? I mean, he has yet to go through the trial. But my point is, you know, they were charged. What else did they want? But it was like, whatever their demands were, they want more and more and more. My question to you is, of all the demands they want, when are they going to be appeased and say, okay, good, we're good? Do you think that day would ever come?
Honestly, I believe if the protests didn't happen, that he would have got off to a certain extent, because he wasn't immediately charged. But with all the light and the protests and everything that happened, it shed so much light they couldn't hide it. Because if you look at the original autopsy, they lied. You know, they said it wasn't the cop's fault. It was this. It was drugs. It was everything. So they had to bring on two separate people to do the autopsy that didn't even know each other to show the results. And they all had the same conclusion. So you're right, though. When it comes to when will it be appeased? Because I'm okay with, you know, him getting charged and then the other officers being charged and being complicit because they did nothing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether it's to keep the protest going until a decision is made. Because my fear is, and I know a lot of folks in the Black community have this same fear, that if the protest stops, the light shine off of it and then the officer quietly, you know, might get away.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, when is the trial supposed to take place anyways?
That's the million-dollar question.
I can't even find it. I've been looking myself. I'm just like, I want to, like, you know, I can't find anything. It's just like, oh, next he's next to appear, you know. And I think the first time he appeared in jail, like, he didn't even go into the courthouse. He actually appeared, like, via webcam or something, didn't he?
He had the opportunity to, I think, when he came to Orlando. Yeah. I know he came to Florida. And, you know, if you look at the picture, a lot of people were surprised at the mugshot, because when you look at the picture, you know, he had cleaned up. So, you know, he came here not to be recognized. Yeah, so well, it looks like he was told, you know, just go let this die down. So yeah, it's like he came in the spirit of, I'm going to get away with this.
Hmm. Well, I guess we'll see how that plays out. Right. But I mean, the contrast with that and Atlanta. And again, I still think that they rushed way up. I mean, that was just political pressure where they instantly charged him, you know, with what murder charge was it? But I mean, it literally would, you know, have the death penalty if he gets charged with that. Well, to me, that's just a rush to judgment. I mean, that's just political, because nobody in the right mind on a case like that would just instantly go to that level right away. Right. Exactly. Even if you thought it was wrong, even if you thought what happened is wrong, what is going on there is incredibly extreme and political, in my opinion. Like, what do you think?
It's dangerous. As far as how,
it's very dangerous. And that's why the police are really kind of freaking out now, because they're like, oh, my goodness. Like, if I can't defend myself, and like, that's like saying, you know, if the citizens are able to like defend themselves, but the police aren't, I mean, that's a scary position for them to be put in. Right. And I mean, I'm not seeing these police that are just completely doing that for no reason whatsoever. I mean, this, like, he was, you know, there were two officers there and he was pretty strong, man, because he like was, he fought through both of them, you know. Exactly. And they were both trying to get him down. And I mean, he was, you know, pretty strong, but then grabbing, they were like, you know, and they said a few times, get your hand off the taser, get your hand off the taser. Right. Now, it's not about, oh, maybe I should be able to grab this or this. It is a police officer. It's authority. You have to know your line, man. You got to know
your
limit. All
of those arguments are stupid. And I tell anybody that's listening, all of those arguments are stupid. You know, he knew, and they actually charged him. One of the charges was he didn't properly let the guy know that you're under arrest. Okay, dude. I grew up, when the officer tell you to turn around and he take off the cuffs, dude, it means you're under arrest.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I'm saying, if anyone carries the same way, that carries on that way, they're going to meet the same outcome. Maybe not exactly, but what I'm saying is it's going to get like rough, right? They're not just going to be like, okay, you obviously don't want to and we can't do anything about it, right? They're still the police and they still have to enforce the law. And quite honestly, I mean, he was massively intoxicated, but I'll tell you, it's really kind of sent this ripple overall, you know, throughout the police forces, where they're saying like, this is crazy. This is crazy that all of a sudden, you know, police are scared to even defend themselves. I mean, what are police supposed to do when they're on a call? They want to get home to their families. They just want to get home. They're just doing their job, man. I mean, I know there's some bad police out there, but again, we're talking about the vast majority are good, man. They're doing something where they're not getting paid very much at all to risk their life every day.
Well, first of all, we got to clear it up. I believe that the officer deserved to be arrested, because it's not that the fact that he shot him.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's what he did after.
Yes.
You know, he.
Yes, we haven't talked about that.
He kicked the guy. He put he admitted it.
It's like you. It's like you. That's the same thing that the cop did to you, came over to you and gave you a boot, right?
That's
aggression. That to me is like, you know, you need to go to anger management, or you got a massive temper. And I think that's what we need to regulate in the police departments. If someone's got a short fuse in the police department, I don't think they should be a police officer. Because when you're dealing with that type of stress and under pressure and you got a short fuse, it's just going to get bad. And I don't care what color you are, you're going to get the boot. Right. If you carry it on that way. So really, to me, it's the same thing that happened to you. It wasn't, I don't believe it. I will never know this, but I don't think it was because you're black. I think it's because you're trying to get away. You guys annoyed. And, you know, and I'm sure I know white guys that literally were breaking the law, carrying on like that. And they definitely got roughed up pretty good by the police. You know what I mean? It's happened.
It's our fault, though, because now we got to go into the history of why police do these things way before. Even when Clint Eastwood was making movies, it's the catchphrase. You know, they had their catchphrase. You shoot someone, or, you know, you're filthy, and they shoot a criminal. And it's like, we've been programmed by watching all of these movies. We forget that these are, even though they're actors, this is somebody's son. This is somebody's brother being shot in the head or being blown away.
Yeah.
And police, from even watching the comedy Police Academy, we see that the police are taught that it's a us versus them mentality. So they feel that they're in their right a lot of times to kick the bad guy, because it's like something clicks inside them. Once you're labeled a criminal, you're less than an animal to the police.
Yeah.
Black, white, you know, we've seen it. Yeah. I posted an article. There was a white guy, you know, he was killed the same way, two knees on his neck.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Go to prison. I don't care what color you are. You're going to be treated like crap. You know, those guards are not going to give you any humane level of, you know, decency. I mean, that's right across the board, right?
Why is that?
Well, yeah, that's more of a bigger issue, you know, getting into, you know, and I mean, they've been talking about this for a long time. I mean, prisoners want the right to vote and all that. And that comes down to, like, you know, do we allow prisoners to have certain things? Obviously, they got to be treated humanely. There's no doubt about it. But my point is that you on the ground getting a boot, or my friend, you know, carrying on, flipping off the cops and running away from them and them catching up and giving them a stomp, right? Same scenario. You know, it had nothing to do with the skin color. It had to do with being rebellious and frustrating a police officer that really has a short fuse and probably needs to deal with anger management. And I think the police departments need to have more, you know, ways to detect certain police officers that maybe, you know what, this is kind of where we look at. If all of a sudden, you know, you basically can't keep a cool collective stance in a situation, yeah, maybe you're not best suited for being a police officer. Maybe something else, you know, maybe you could be a security guard, maybe you could be whatever. But my point is, that is what I see a lot when it comes to police just getting frustrated. And it's just, maybe they had a bad day, who knows? But this whole idea that they're just, these police are just running around in their squad cars, let's just go find up, you know, black guys and let's just go rough them up. It's just, you know, if that is the case, and that's going on, you got to remember, everything now, day and age, I mean, it is being recorded, right? Yeah. A lot of it is being recorded. And let's just say they go to a point where everyone's wearing body cams and everyone's being recorded, you know, 24/7. Well, how much are we going to see that where the police are going to be like, yeah, let's go and rough some, you know? You're not going to see that. Yeah. You're going to see instances where all of a sudden we don't have the full story. We don't have the full angles. We don't, you know, there's always these two sides to a story, and there's the truth. They always say there's his side, her side, and then the truth, you know, kind of like a divorce court or something like this. But to me, it's just getting to the point now where now they're ripping down all these statues. I mean, where do you stand? I mean, what do you think about the fact of trying to actually completely eradicate history? I mean, there's no doubt there's some bad actors, I mean, going on. But this whole idea that they want to completely remove any resemblance of any type of heritage or history of America, what do you think that's leading to?
It goes back to, we're people without a leader, and we're being moved by trends. You know, it's trending to take down a statue. It's trending to say, okay, this, they're not even looking into the history of this, especially with the Aunt Jemima and the other things. They're not even looking into the history no more. They're just removing anything.
Shouldn't she be celebrated though? Like, I mean, I heard she was the first black millionaire, and she was incredibly successful when she was like, I mean, I just read a little bit about it. You might know a lot more about her. But again, to me, don't you think that would be celebrated in the black community as someone that aspired and did incredibly well? Like, I don't understand the idea. And the logic behind it is like, we got to get rid of Aunt Jemima.
Like I said, that's why we have to go and ask the question, what do Black Lives Matter, the corporation, stands for? Because wouldn't you think that a organization that's getting millions of dollars from the people, they made $20 million off George Floyd. And
who did?
Black Lives Matter. They made $20 million off George Floyd. Yep. And even Candace Owens said, where did the money go? Still no answers.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because George Floyd, Floyd Mayweather paid for the funeral. So, you know, where did the money go? So with that being said, Black Lives Matter have a duty. If Black Lives Matter, that includes Aunt Jemima, that includes her history, her legacy. Why aren't the people getting educated? Because it's not trending. It's not popular. It's not popular to educate and say, oh, let's not do this. It's more popular to say, hey, burn the city down so that they can get their ratings.
Yeah, well, I mean, when they're trying to actually remove Paw Patrol because of Chase the police dog, because it's offensive. I mean, this is what do you think about the cancel culture that we're in? And it's getting more extreme by the day. But to the point where you don't like something, you know, we're just going to fight to get it removed. And I mean, you just see the alarming pace at what they're able to do. I mean, Paw Patrol, right? I got some small kids, man. Paw Patrol. It's a police cartoon dog. Not just a police show, It's got an ambulance. It's got a firefighter. It's got all these people that do some great things in the community. And yet we want to get rid of it because we're offended because the police are bad. I mean, this whole idea, I mean, it's one thing with defund the police. But when all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, they want to abolish the police. And they're like, well, we'll just let social workers deal with stuff. And well, who's going to come when you call 911? Well, we don't know. You know, we don't know at this point, but we need to get rid of all the police. And then you're like laughing. You're like, nah, they're just talking. And then all of a sudden Minneapolis is like, yep, we voted. We're going to actually abolish the police. And then all of a sudden you've got New York talking. And then you've got, you know, Seattle, which is a train wreck. We'll get into that here in a second. But literally they take over the police station. They literally vacate it. And it's a no police zone for 6 blocks in Seattle. I mean, what is going on in 2020? I mean, this to me is, you know, and we're definitely in a spiritual war. There's no doubt. And we'll talk about that because you don't see things like this happening where people are just, yeah, well, we got to do this. And it's like no one's fighting back. It just seems like everyone is standing still watching this unfold. And, you know, this is a massive power grab and it has nothing to do with George Floyd anymore. It has nothing to do with justice. It has to do with power and control. What do you think?
It never did. You know, it never did have anything to do with George Floyd. It never did. This is what the left want because they want to get their way. They want to get their way. And I know people, I know that I can already see you in the comments, left wing, right wing, same bird. But at the same time, there's still agendas at play.
Hey, man, I go on the record all the time and I understand all the, you know, the truth in and looking into the right and the left. But here, we're dealing with like Joe Biden or Trump. All right, stop what you're thinking. Who would be better to be put in place? You know, sleepy Joe Biden or Donald Trump, right? I mean, if anything, and I tell people this all the time, there's going to come a time when people, even if you're not for Trump, you're going to miss someone talking like that. Because I'll tell you one thing, we're just going to move to a very boring speeches. It's going to be, you know, person just a puppet. I'll tell you, man, you honestly believe that Trump is just 100% a puppet. I think you're completely wrong. You can completely see what's going on. And I'm saying right now, look, man, what would be the alternative? Hillary? Honestly, looking back on it, you would rather Hillary have won it? And most truthers would be like, well, no, you know, but both are bad. So I'm not going to vote for either. I'm like, guys, come on. Seriously, do you want like another Hillary? Do you want like a Joe Biden or do you want like a Trump, man? At least Trump, man, says it like it is. He's entertaining. He's fun. And you're not going to see someone like him the rest of your life. Mark my words on that.
It's our celebrities, too. You know, the black celebrities, it's their fault, too, because when Trump first got in office, he reached out to all of them. But it wasn't the cool thing to be seen or heard talking to Trump. It wasn't
except
the cool
Kanye.
Thing.
Except Kanye, though. Kanye's kind of stood his ground. And
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Kanye came and then you got Kim Kardashian, who, you know, she came and she, you know, she did reform in the prison system. And why does it take someone like Kanye and Kim Kardashian to go sit down? Jay-Z, all of these guys had the opportunity to go and sit down, and they ignored him.
I know, it's crazy. Cool. Like, why? I know, but like, it's not even cool. Why not just get the chance to basically drill him, you know, look him in the eyes and have a talk? I mean, regardless where you stand on it, don't you think it would have been a great opportunity for Jay-Z to just to sit down and say, all right, I'm going to see what this cat's about. You know what I mean? Sit down. I know, but he couldn't
because he would lose everything.
Yeah, well, that's the question. I mean, the question is, would he have or would he have swayed a lot of people? Because if Jay-Z's doing it, it must be cool. Like, you got to remember, there's a lot of people that they need to look up to someone, right? And that's the danger, I guess, of having people, you know, look up to, especially someone that's really not grounded, you know, in the Bible and has that relationship. Then they're really going to be swaying and they're going to be looking for someone. But someone has to look for someone to look up to. You know how that works, right? Especially the youth.
Yeah. But right now we got there's a female hip hop artist. She had a show on BET and everything. Trina, she spoke up about the protests and the rioting, and she said during the live radio show, she said, "You guys are acting like animals."
Did she?
Yeah, she said, "You guys are acting like animals," and they canceled her.
Oh, did they really?
All her shows, everything is canceled.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people, and like you said, then basically they start living their life basically out of fear. Right. Well, I would kind of it'd be kind of cool to go visit Trump. But if I do, I'm going to get all my new record deal canceled. Well, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, how do you live through life when all of a sudden you're constantly in a state of fear? And quite honestly, that's just mob mentality. I mean, that's like the mob will just completely destroy you if you don't do what they say. I mean, America was built on like more stronger values and like, you know, standards than that. But it just seems like everyone's cowering. And especially it seems that the white communities are just rolling over with this, you know. I mean, why don't they just love on black people and stay where they're at, but sit there and kissing their boots and doing all these type of things? Oh, you know, we have to do, you know, our forefathers and all this kind of stuff. Where does it end? I mean, if you look through history, many people were enslaved. I mean, heck, we were talking about the Bible at the beginning of the broadcast or whatever. But like, look at the Jews, man. The Jews were under slavery, right?
But you, I mean, only feel that way because you're woke. You've done the research. You got to realize many Americans, it's the bread and circus. They got the NFL, they got the NBA, they got the NHL, and you know, and then they got the Sunday service.
Which, here's the one thing, and we'll talk a little bit, we could talk a little bit about coronavirus, but I said to someone the other night, and again, trust me, I know there's a lot of power grabs there. It's really exaggerated. I still think there's some serious issues within the entire coronavirus itself, and I know that it goes against the grain of a lot of people. But here's the thing. Why in the world, if it's one master grand plan, New World Order, you know, this whole thing is orchestrated 110%, why would you take away the bread and circuses? Why would you take away the sports, the movies? I mean, literally Hollywood productions were shut down. Mm-hmm. Every sport was shut down. To me, I have always said this, and I've said this many times on many broadcasts with different guests. I am seeing that this is a judgment of God, period, period. And I'm not saying it's the wrath of God. I am saying that he's shaking the nations. He's sending certain things. And I'm not talking just the coronavirus. I'm talking like everything that we're witnessing, right? The economic fallout, even the riots, everything. And he says, you know, if my people will humble themselves, they'll humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will heal their land, you know, in Isaiah. And I honestly believe that we really need to like really start praying. I don't think there's enough people that are really truly seeking him and praying to him to heal all this craziness that we're seeing. What do you think?
We don't know to, because I kind of get your take on it, that it's the judgment of God. And I believe it's the judgment of God. He's just sat back. He's just gone silent. And
sure.
He's letting the elite run amok. And that's what's happening. They're able to do what they want to do. He's pulled back and he's like, okay, I'll show you now.
Yeah.
And that's
what I said on another show. I said, like, you know, a lot of people are talking about the New World Order, and I see nothing but evidence supporting the fact that you're going to see less globalization and more localization occur after 2020. If anything, God also has the reins, and sometimes he can step in and say, oh, you know what? You got your plans? I've got mine. And he can slow things down. He can switch things up, and he can prolong stuff. So, for example, they have their agenda, but he can also put a wrench in it and say, you know what? I just threw that back now a couple decades. Because to tell you the truth, and you're going to see this continual, there's going to be more infighting with the countries. I already know, especially when it comes to, like, you know, production, all of the food levels, drugs, PPE, all these type of environments. We were too reliant on one country or a few countries. Now you're going to see manufacturing coming back, I believe, into countries, especially America, and you're going to see less dependence on the globalization. The EU's falling apart. So much is happening, but we're going to get into it and a lot more in the second hour with Val Owens, my special guest tonight from wokejournalist.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, welcome back to Celebrate Truth Radio. This is Hour 2. My special guest tonight is Val Owens, and we've been talking about Black Lives Matter, hijacked, and so much more. Before the first hour, we were just getting into a little bit about all the different events that were taking place in Atlanta, in Minneapolis, the riots, all these sort of things. I wanted to get your take on, maybe you've done some research on that 75-year-old man, you remember. What was your take on that, that you saw that happen? A lot of people were saying it was staged, it was fake. And my whole thing was, if that was the case, why wasn't it a 75 elderly black man? Can you imagine if that was a black man that was kind of pushed over and he got head trauma? How crazy things would have got? To me, that would have escalated things a lot more than a white man. What's your take on the 75-year-old guy there that was pushed over in those demonstrations?
I have this process. I try to wait till more of the story comes out and more evidence comes out. And try to look more into it. So I'm waiting on just more because, you know, all the conspiracy. I was hit with so many conspiracy
theories. Yeah, sure you were. Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. It was a straw. It was fake blood pouring out his ear. Yeah. And,
but, like, honestly, think about this, though. And I'm going to throw this out for the whole truther community. And we're going to talk a lot about Val's awesome new fact-checking website called Woke Journalist. Sign up if you haven't. He's signing up some amazing people there to help with that site. But it's wokejournalist.com. The link is in the description. I want to talk quite a bit about that because you've had your hands full with so much. And it seems like there was just this massive influx. The minute George Floyd hit, I don't think I'd ever seen more stuff being poured out on every different angle than I've ever seen leading up to 2020. But you're right. So much stuff was coming out there. And I just said to people, I'm like, look, man, I don't know. You know, things are suspicious for sure. But honestly, if you're going to stage something, why wouldn't you do it with a black elderly man? I mean, people would have lost their flipping minds. People would have gone so crazy. I mean, they would have started burning cities. If you really want to, you know, throw fuel on the fire, you would do it with a black, you know, man, not a white man. But anyways, it's good that, you know, you're still researching that. You know, you can come back to us on that, or maybe you can post some stuff on Woke Journalists as far as what's going on there. I just thought I would ask you because I'm just always perplexed. I'm like, look, man, if that is the plan, why was it a white guy? Right.
It's more. This is what I've been preaching. This is what I've been yelling for. Police reformation. These cops, they need to be reprogrammed, you know, because, like I said, they grew up with this. If you see it in the movies, you don't run up on a cop. You don't do it. You're not supposed to do what that elderly man did, no matter what his age. You're not supposed to run up on a cop. You're not supposed to. And if you look in the movies, that's what happens. We've been cheering this stuff on. We've been buying movie tickets for the, you know, for decades. Yeah. But now we live in a world of technology. Everybody got cameras. Everybody's filming. You open up your phone, hit play, and you're streaming live.
Yep.
So this is what's going on with this elderly man. You're just now able to catch this stuff on film. When I was growing up, what happened to George Floyd? What happened to Mike Brown? That stuff happened. I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. This stuff happened all the time. I grew up in an area called Washington Heights in Jacksonville, Florida. Every other day you hear a lady in the background, oh, my baby, you know, and then you hear gunshot, pa, 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 and she running outside. This is what I grew up hearing. Police driving around in marked vehicles, not unmarked vehicles. They drove around in marked vehicles with the sirens, their windows down, and ski masks. They, just 10 years ago, I was staying in Jacksonville, Florida. They would ride up on you almost bumper length, where they can almost hit you. If you hit your brights, they lit up the siren and they search your whole car.
Mm.
So, you know, what people are seeing, I always see in the comments, why would they do this? Why did the EMTs just leave him down there? Why didn't they check his... Well, when I grew up, the EMTs just come and they smoked a cigarette with the cops.
No.
You know, uh-huh. I mean, the body laid there until the EMTs and the cops finished talking. Yeah. So this is you're just getting exposed to the reality that a lot of people grew up in. Welcome to the real world.
So what's some of the most absurd things that you've seen, you know, in creating wokejournalist.com that's come across your path where you just had to debunk? I mean, because like to me, I think that there's lots of people out there that are really trying to discredit real hardcore truth seekers that really do want the truth. But unfortunately, they get this really tantalizing meme and they're like, oh my goodness, this is too good to be true. I'm just going to share this to all my community and all my friends. And then they're like, guy, did you even look into it? Did you even find out exactly? Did you do a little bit of digging? And I mean, it's good that you're doing something. Maybe you can explain a little bit about why you started Woke Journalist and how that's going and kind of what your future plans are for that platform.
My goal for the platform is to be the fact checker for Snopes. I hate going to a site and I see something that says mostly true or false.
Yeah.
How can something be? It's either true or it's false.
Yeah, like, can you imagine if Jesus said, I'm mostly the way, I'm mostly the truth, and I'm mostly the life? You know, there's mostly kind of you can almost maybe get to the Father through me.
Then I'll probably mostly put up my Bible, you know? So people ask me questions like, I'm on the site right now. I was asked, was George Floyd at his own funeral? You know, so I had to show that, you know, he had a friend named, you know, he had this friend and that he grew up with, a childhood friend. And they look exactly alike. And I had the poster. I showed the picture where he's there.
How stupid would it be, actually, even if it was all a big, you know, hoax or whatever, a setup, to go to your own funeral? Like, you don't think it could possibly maybe give the whole thing away and the whole thing would come crumbling down? Like, I mean, people aren't that brave. But, I mean, people will go to the point where, like, everything they see now, Val, is fake. Everything. And I mean, at what point do we say, well, wait a minute, some things have to be true. The question is, what things are?
It drove me crazy. So I sat down and I started coding right away. And I programmed this, you know, woke journalist site. And everything, this is what scared me. Because I have over 5,000 truthers just on my Facebook. And all of them were sending me memes. And every meme that they sent me, I was able to debunk with actual facts. You know, like I said, George Floyd at his funeral, it was his friend, Steven Jackson. Yeah, I showed a picture of him with his mask and without his mask and it's speaking. So I showed that. Another one was they sent me a meme of showing Antifa debit cards.
Oh, yeah. I did see that flying around. I was like, oh, brother.
Yes.
Antifa debit cards.
It only took me 30 minutes to find the source of it and debunk it. And I showed how it was coming from a German satire site that actually took the time to create the graphics, create these cards and put this out here to make truthers and to make people that support Donald Trump look dumb.
Yeah. I think that definitely is going on because it doesn't take much for someone just to do it. I mean, I haven't done it yet. I mean, I probably never will, but I have said to my wife on numerous occasions, like, I'm so tempted to do a Photoshop, throw it out there, but in like really small, you'd almost have to magnify it where it says, this is fake, right? You're totally are believing this, you know, something to the end or coming back. I don't want to do it, but obviously there's part of me that's like, you know, how easy it is to do. It's like, he's sharing, it must be true. I mean, if like ODD TV just put something out, a big meme, everyone instantly, because of his credibility, would just believe it. You can throw anything out right now, right? That's unfortunate, but that's what's good about, you know, you having the website and putting a platform like that together is where people can really take the time and they don't have to spend time on all of this stuff that's coming out. They can focus on one key area. Because yes. You know how it is with research, man. I mean, to do proper research, it takes a while on one, you know, type of topic, not the entire thing. You know, you need a lot of people to kind of handle different, like, assignments, different subject matters.
Exactly. And that's what I've been doing. I've been reaching out to, I've been asking anybody if they know these big YouTubers that, you know, that are truthers, to send them my way so that we can have them as fact checkers. You know, you, the site is easy to use. You go there and all you have to do is ask the question, like, you know, like someone asked, are Antifa debit cards that fund, are there Antifa debit cards that fund Antifa protesters real? They just ask the question, and then you go, and then I will have a truther, or I personally would go do the research, list all the sources, put screenshots so that you can see where it's fake, where it started, the origins of it, so you have no doubt in your mind, so you can move on to finding real truth and get rid of all the, you know, all the satire that's out there.
Yeah, yeah, no,
look
for
at
sure.
The Babylon Bee. Who created this site?
What site, sorry?
The Babylon Bee.
Oh, the Babylon Bee.
That site.
Yeah, yeah. That's hardcore satire, man. But I think it's actually some Christians that run that site, because if you actually notice over the years or whatever, they do focus a lot on some funny stuff. Like, it just seems like they're on the up when it comes to that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, since day one, you know, and you know how many people that will actually share that stuff around, they'll believe it's real. Like, yeah. They're like, no, it's Babylon Bee, it's satire. But it gets people right at the beginning, you know? But that's the point, is that they start sharing, go, look at this. It's like, why don't you look into it, and then you'll know it's satire, or at least research it. But so many people will just share stuff right away, right? They don't even have to look into it. They're like, oh, this got to be real because someone just posted this. Here's a question for you. What about all that stuff that was circulating that Obama tweeted George Floyd 5 days before he died? I mean, what did you look into that at all? Have you even heard about that?
Because I looked at it, and the problem is that, you know, the average person don't understand the timestamps. They don't understand how Twitter work. They don't understand the update and the refresh rate. They don't understand all of this stuff. And trying to explain it, you get labeled a shill.
I know. And it's crazy, too, because it's just like think of that logically. Like, Obama. Okay, first of all, Obama, right? He's not even in the office right now. So Obama is just going to tweet out a guy that literally 5 days later is going to be one of the biggest names in the entire world, right? Come on, like, people, like, seriously, there's sometimes when you got to be like, wait a minute, this just doesn't ring true. It's just too obvious. But, you know, I do know of some significant, truthers that have actually gone on the record, you know, saying that's real. They've done shows about it. I won't mention, you know, who it is, but my point is that a lot of people are running with this stuff, and it's just like, they've done their small amount of research and they throw it out there. Now, don't get me wrong. We can't always be right. And sometimes it's good just to be humble and admit when you're wrong, right? Sorry, Matt, I was wrong on this, or sorry, I was wrong on that. But when it comes to these type of things, you know, this stuff just, it just seemed like everyone was sharing so much of this, and it continues on. You know, some people, I mean, I had Aaron Sampson on, and, you know, he's under the belief that, you know, this is being done purposely, where so much disinformation is being pumped out there to, you know, hurt the credibility of people that are generally trying to actually, you know, support and hold up truth. But then they start sharing stuff that's just quite frankly, ridiculous.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. And it's just ridiculous. It should be at first glance. But then also when you start looking into it, you're like, wait a minute, there's zero credibility to this. I mean, there's nothing to this, and you're just sharing this. So it just seems like at that time, people will go, this person's just completely lost touch, because everything now, every single thing they see is fake. Nothing. It's all manufactured. Now, I agree, the world's a stage. And I said on the last show, I said, guys, yeah, the world's a stage. Play your part. God's asking you to play your part in this world stage. So, I mean, everyone will talk about the bad players and say, oh, they're all staging everything. Well, what about you? I mean, what's the act that you're going to play in this world? God's calling us, you know, he's calling us to as ambassadors for him. He's calling us to be the light in a dark world. And this world is getting darker and darker and darker. You know, how do we bring light, you know, outside, you know, obviously with the gospel, but really when it comes to these type of divide that we're seeing, you know, do you think it's just going to continually get worse? Or do you think that there's any hope for stuff being restored where it's not so divided? I don't think I've ever seen America so divided in my whole life.
It's going to continue getting worse because Black Lives Matter, it's going to continue getting worse because they're marching for Black Lives Matter. And that's not what they need to be marching for. That is why that the Rayshard happened in Georgia right after George Floyd, because they're marching for the wrong thing. They're marching. Yeah, they're making Wendy's about race.
What did Wendy's do to them? What did Wendy's do to them? They just burned it to the ground. Like, what did Wendy's have to do with it? They just decided to burn the whole restaurant to the ground. It's like, what did Wendy's do to the BLM?
I mean, it's because it's not just BLM. That's the problem.
I know. I agree.
They're just the face, but it's hijacked. That's why we titled it. It's hijacked.
So what do you think with the Antifa? Let's start talking about this as far as the Antifa aspect. I mean, Trump's literally gone and said who they are, and he wants to have them, you know, listed as a domestic terrorist organization. And obviously the left and most of the mainstream media are like, no, that's horrible, that's awful. And he's like, no, call them for what they are. They're a terrorist organization. What's your view on Antifa, and how do you see that they have hijacked Black Lives Matter?
It wasn't hard for them to do. All you have to do is put on a mask and go out there and join the crowd and hype them up, because we're living in a time that whoever's leading Antifa, they understand emotions and they understand the heightened emotions. So all you have to do is throw one rock and everybody's going to follow suit.
Correct.
That's what's going on. Antifa's there to throw the rocks and continue hyping up the crowd. Because they're already marching on the wrong agenda, and Antifa knows their agenda, and just like the Freemasons, they have people in this Antifa camp that don't understand the main agenda. So they're in a cause that they don't even know what they're fighting for.
Yeah.
So you have a whole bunch of chickens with their heads cut off running around supporting the agenda they don't even know that they're supporting.
Correct. And do you know, like, the overall arching agenda of Antifa? Have you looked into that much?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
When I started looking into it, it leads to, I get the articles for George Soros.
Sure.
And
so what do you think? What do you think of the whole George Soros connection?
Scapegoat, maybe?
Yeah. I kind of think so. I mean, he's just too, like, I'm not saying he's not part of it, sure, like, that there's a connection there, but it just seems like he's just such a easy scapegoat, where everyone puts their focus on George Soros, and yet the real masterminds behind even George are just running around, and no one knows who they are.
I mean, if you type in, you know, Antifa and George Soros, you get nothing but a whole bunch of fact checkers, and it's false claim about George Soros, false claim about this. So he's going to end up coming out a victim. That's the scary part about it. When you have all of these truthers sharing this about George Soros, and you have all these fact checking sites, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have Facebook start taking your posts down, and then you're going to have CNN start trying to interview George Soros, and then you're going to come out as a victim. Like, I'm just trying to, you know what I mean? Then you're going to have this halo. And then now you've created a platform for George Soros. So this is one of the reasons I created this, because we can't continue giving these people platforms that don't need to have platforms.
No, and you plan on, like, expanding it just pretty much everything, like all sorts of different topics on woke journalists, correct?
All topics. Flat Earth, that's why I contacted you. I want it to be clear so that the people don't think that Vol Owens is just sitting here giving the facts about everything. I'm reaching out to people that are qualified to speak, doctors. I have a category for COVID-19. I have a category for Flat Earth, category for, you know, just history, all of these topics. So I need the people to come and ask these questions so that the facts can be put on record.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you've got, certain things in development, as far as you mentioned that you've been sick and tired of looking at the credibility of Wikipedia. So you're planning on putting something like that together as well, like a different type of truthing Wikipedia?
Yes. When you go to the site, you now see the option of Wiki. So I just finished programming the Wiki this week. And, you know, I got a rude awakening. It happened the last time when I tried to create a platform like this called the Hybrary. But I got a rude awakening. I had someone, they went to PayPal, and they actually asked for $4,000 that helped me get this started. They asked for the refund. And I don't know whether people understand about how PayPal works, is they have 100% customer satisfaction.
Yeah.
So I had to issue that, else PayPal to get to the point, especially with that high amount, that they would make it so that I can't take any, you know, that we can't be funded through PayPal anymore.
Yeah, they'll cut you off. Yeah, yeah. You really have, it's kind of like a credit card, like a chargeback, right? It's like the customer always wins on that, right? Like the buyer always loses on PayPal.
Yep. Yep. And you can go and complain back from 6 months ago or even a year ago.
I know,
and PayPal will go and refund your money.
Yeah, yeah. Overall, it's like on a kind of a rating system as well, too. Overall, I think it works fairly well, but I agree it's got an excessive amount of favor towards the seller, or sorry, the buyer, not the seller. So, like, usually that's the way it is with the transaction. But that's unfortunate. Well, like I said, I mean, you've got ways to support you if you can kind of give some links out or just ways that people can help support the initiative. I know you've got some pretty big names that are going to be joining and helping out with that. Honestly, I think it's going to go a long way in helping people be able to go to a site. Okay, I'm going to share this meme. Or I'm going to share this picture. I want to check first and see. You know. I just want to check with these guys. And I mean, you know, overall, they want the truth. I mean, they want what you want as well, but they're just not going to be so quick and rush to get something else. I think in our culture, though, we're always looking for that dopamine hit as far as more likes, more exposure. You know, you get a breaking story, put it out right away, right? Because you get the attention. Like a lot of people are kind of, you know, getting sucked into this idea where, you know, and it is like a drug. They've said that social media is like a drug, right? People are always watching the likes. How many likes did I get? You know, if you don't get that many likes, it kind of affects, you know, if you get lots, it kind of brings up your spirits, all these type of things. But yeah, you know, people have to stop kind of and look around and say, well, what's more important? You know, just your credibility as far as what you're sharing, make sure. I mean, quite honestly, you can never know 100%, but take the time, go to wokejournalist.com, look it up, ask that question and have a lot of people kind of vote on it or figure it out. But you're going to have some pretty credible people there that are going to be researching the bigger ones for sure. I mean, as time goes on, as it grows, you know, all sorts of things will be looked into. But right now, the big topic ones are definitely going to be looked into and maybe explain, you know, what people can they apply to help out, or how does it work as far as getting good qualified people that are going to be looking into, you know, and researching properly when it comes to these topics?
The way it works is you go there, when you go to the homepage, and it's usually on every other page as well, you will see on to the right side, it says ask a question. You just go and click ask a question. You put the question, you choose a category. You can add a tag if you want, and then you just upload an image. And then you can put, you know, give more detail to your question. Hit submit. Boom. The question's out there. So you actually will get and notification when someone answers your question. So if you feel that you have the answer to the question, you know what I mean? Like right now, you as Robbie Davidson, you go there and you post, is the earth flat? You can go there, you can answer your own question. And I might see that as you, and then I will list your answer as the best answer.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Close the question.
Gotcha. So you'll take the best out of a bunch of replies to it, and then you put the credible one that this is the best one. I see exactly what you're doing. That goes a long way, that's for sure. And then over time, you should have those people that where you're doing the best. I mean, do it on like almost a reward system or some sort of thing where over time, you know, as more people voted up and saying, yeah, I agree, that is the best answer. There's ways to do it where all of a sudden you can really help build up a person's credibility because they've been right multiple times. And then you've got other, you know, fact checkers that are also good with what they're doing. Also, you know, saying yes to that one as well too, right? I guess you got to be somewhat careful that, you know, over time, can it be corrupted? Can multiple people, you know, do it? But overall, I think just the notion of multiple people checking a source, and some of these things sometimes are so easy to be like, this is false, guys. This is so false. Here's the link. And you did that on a couple of things where you're like, go see it yourself. Here's the link. Here's the birth certificate.
That's my big thing. Yeah. I want you to research yourself. Do not take that, even if you see it as best answer on this site, go and research it yourself. We have a contact form. Know what I mean? We all are human. I can make a mistake, but I try to make sure that I don't try. I do. I add as many sources as I can find. If I found 1,000 sources, you're going to go down that page and it's going to scroll down until all thousands are listed.
Nice.
Because we have to research, and we have to research for ourselves. We live in a time with, especially with deep fake technology, we can't believe our eyes.
Yeah.
Can't believe our ears. So, you know, we have to research for ourselves and ask the, you know, and also ask the Holy Spirit, you know, it's just the answer. It's just the answer.
Yeah, well, Photoshop is getting super good now, right? So, I mean, people get good on Photoshop, and I mean, you just don't know sometimes if something's real or fake, and you need to take that time or go to a credible site that basically has taken the time to break it down and show you all the, research and information that was gathered to come up with their conclusions, right?
And you can follow the people. I created different features on here. So if you have someone that can give, you know, that's answering a whole lot, you can go there. You can follow them. You can see whenever they post a question, you'll get an email whenever they post a question. So it's not like this is all just Val Owens and you go and follow him. I didn't put myself as the head on this site. I'm a user just like every other person on the site.
Where did you get all your coding skills and stuff? Like, where does that come from? Were you self-taught? Did you go to school? Like, how did that all come about?
When I was, I think, 12 or 13, my mother bought home a 386 computer.
Nice.
A lot of people don't know. It's before
the Commodore? Pentium. Oh, the Pentium 386. Gotcha. Yeah, I was thinking.
Yeah, it's before the Pentium came out.
So you're talking about a 386 before the Pentiums. Yeah, yeah.
My mother brought this home from work. She worked at the school board. She brought this home, and I went to sit in front. I'm like, oh, a computer. And she's like, you cannot touch it unless you know what you're doing. So I went and I read the entire computer book.
Oh,
and
wow.
And along with that, they had a book on DOS shell. A lot of people don't know what that is.
DOS, but yeah.
I read
commands. So you started learning commands, right? You started learning prompts, like command prompts.
Nice. And I understood it. It was like reading the English language to me. So from there, I started doing websites back in 1995.
Man, I did .com companies from 98 to 2007, 2008. But yeah, my first .com was in 1999, probably 98, early 1998. But anyways, I'll never forget, because for me, I was just like, I want to learn HTML. So I just basically just self-taught myself. I remember going online, learning HTML, but I'll never forget the day when all of a sudden I saw The Matrix. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, right? When you're looking
I was
at
in basic training.
What's that?
I was in basic training.
Yeah, but I mean, I could see The Matrix, man. I could see the code. Like, I could actually see that box. Like, I'd be building, you know, the table. You know what I mean? I'd build a table, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, I could visualize it, what it looked like on the actual website, the code. And I was like, ta-da! I remember I was using Dreamweaver, and I had a coding buddy. He's like, dude, do not use Dreamweaver. It bloats it. You know, learn HTML. So he kind of forced me. He says, trust me, you'll thank me down the road. So he kind of forced me, rather than using a web template editor, you know, like Dreamweaver.
Yeah.
He was like forcing me to actually code. And I'll just never forget, man, when I called him up, like, dude, I see The Matrix. I can see it. I can see it in the code. I can see it. Yeah. But I learned PHP and a bunch of other coding languages. But like, yeah, I got pretty good on just HTML, but I built like some pretty big websites as well. But I was just curious, you know, where you got your skills.
You shocked me when I first contacted you about TruthStream. And I was like, you know what I mean? I wrote you. I'm like, I want you on the server. And you go and you start talking.
I know. I probably Debbie Downer. I was a Debbie Downer for you. I know. Probably.
Yeah, you're like, dude, you need like, this. Did you need this? And you got an Amazon server. I'm like, I just started crying.
You know? Sure, yeah. Well, I tell people all the time, they're like, oh, we just need another YouTube. I'm like, guys, if you even understood what kind of bandwidth and what kind of server farms you need to run a YouTube, especially if you grow to mass, like a lot of people are like, oh, it's a great idea. It's a great idea to have like an alternative. But here's the problem. And I've seen it many times, is it's going along good when you got like 50 people on, right? All of a sudden you get 50,000, it will literally crash to a halt and then pages won't even load, right? Like there's a reason. And that's what people don't understand. It takes an enormous amount of resources and server farms and bandwidth. And I mean, video is the most expensive ever. I mean, if you want to do any other site, I would recommend do anything. Don't do video. Because the minute you start streaming video, you're talking about, you know, server charges and bandwidth charges that would blow your mind. You probably wouldn't even have a clue, you know, what Google or YouTube, if you even like got their bill and saw what their bill is on bandwidth, it would floor you. But I mean, obviously they're countering it with advertising. But if you just knew what monthly they were paying on bandwidth alone, forget their server farms and all that, just their bandwidth, it would blow your mind. I mean, it would be in the millions and millions and millions of dollars a month.
I learned the hard way. I learned the hard way. Because
I just like to tell the truth sometimes. I know that people don't like to hear when they're like, I got this. I'm just like, okay, but just letting you know. And I said it to a lot of people. They've called me up and said, we need to build this. And I'm like, look, man, I'm telling you right now, we would probably need in excess of about at least, you know, to comfortably start, we would need at least about 25 to 50 million just to comfortably start.
I'll tell you who to be on the lookout for. Sean Griffin, he's going to be launching a platform called Lighthouse. And that's
Sean Griffin. Why rings a bell? Sean Griffin.
You probably saw the link I posted. I just did an interview with him as well. But yes, I'm telling you, right. Keep on the lookout. He's okay. He's going to be loud. I don't want to give too much away,
right.
But he's doing it all, and it's called Lighthouse, and yeah. I think it's going to be the next big thing, man.
Nice. Yeah. And it involves, like, video?
It involves video and a couple other things, man. And I'm telling you.
you can't say too much. Right? You can't say too much. Maybe we'll have Sean on the show at some point, and he can explain it closer to launch time. But no, it's really impressive. Obviously, the fact that you can kind of put this stuff together, because I think you've, over time, I mean, you've worked on different projects, but, you were able to work on this one fairly quickly, and get things, running, and it looks sharp. Looks good, man. Wokejournalist.com. And I love your little meter there. It's cool. I like it.
Thanks, man. Well, this has come from trial and error, because I've had three different investors, three different time. I started with the Hybrary, which was going to, I call it the Hybrary because it was going to be a video and library. And, I tried that. And then mm-hmm. it went to Cheer for Giver. I started my own type of GoFundMe type site.
Mm.
And PayPal shut it. They changed their platform for how they receive payments, the payouts. They came out with this PayPal payouts, but before it was Adaptive.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you were able to give a donation, it allowed it to come to the site, and then it will automatically go to your account so that I didn't have to touch the money, because that was my only goal. So when they changed the platform, they were telling me that they have this payouts thing, but it would basically have to go to me first, and then I have to distribute. I'm like, no, I'm not doing all of that, because this is too much work. So that failed, and then I linked up with a guy named Mark Russell, which, a great guy, man. He recently passed of cancer back in May. But he invested probably around $13,000 in TrueStream, and it was 4 days away from launching when he passed.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, you've got the vision. You basically initiate. You'll be able to put them into fruition, and this is something that's dear to your heart. And I mean, I'm really encouraged by what I see. I know that there's a lot of support. I know that Aaron Sampson, I think he had signed up, and there's a lot of people that are just kind of looking around in the truth community, and they're saying, "Hey, like, we got to be better. We got to do better." You know what I mean? Like, yes. We can't just jump on all this stuff. I mean, it really hurts our credibility, and especially when the bigger names start doing it. You know what I mean? It's one thing if everyone starts, doing it, but, like, all of a sudden you got, like, bigger names in the truth community, and they're starting to, get all these emotions going based on, oh, check this out, and this is the new news, and getting it out there. And they haven't really even, like, checked it, They haven't really, really researched it. They're just like, oh, I heard this, and they throw that out there as fact.
I knew we needed it when this COVID-19 happened. And, I think we've been friends on Facebook ever since you started your, the Flat Earth
time,
movement.
Man. Yeah, a long time. About 2015 is when I kind of came on the scene for Flat Earth, early 2015.
So, I never get aggressive on there. No one's never seen me aggressive. So when COVID-19 happened and you were just stating the facts that you knew and people started attacking, you saw how I came at them. It's like, come on, man. Like,
yeah.
We're just going with the facts. And my opinion with COVID-19 is we don't know what it is. We don't know how. There's a lot of theories out there. We don't know how how it was developed or where it was developed. Yeah. But we do know it was killing people. And we know it's still harming people.
My guess is China. From the research I've done, my guess is China. Whether they were tampering with something they shouldn't have been, or they deliberately were actually, trying to mess people up, the fact of the matter is, there's no doubt in my mind, it originated from China. I mean, you can't really debate that fact. You could either go that the whole thing is just fake, it doesn't even exist, or you say it exists, where did it originate? Most people are going to just track it. You can actually see how it kind of spread. It spread from Asia, right? Like H1N1 did, like swine flu, like all these ones. It seems like Asia's, doing this, but there's a lot of suspicious things going on with the Wuhan lab. Right. And all that kind of stuff. And I think, over time, truth is going to start coming out. I mean, Trump was doing his rally today and called it the Chinese virus, which, the media hate that. You think he's all racist when he says Chinese virus. But I mean, what's the difference between that and saying the Spanish flu?
Spanish flu.
Yeah. Like, it's exactly. So silly. It's so stupid. Right. People lose their mind. I mean, oh, Trump's the biggest racist because he said that, or, this whole idea. I put up a post one day about Trump, and I said, honestly, give me one example where Trump is inherently racist. What did he say? And like most people can't even think of something. You know, they take things out of context. I mean,
I had a guy, he pulled up the internet. He was trying, no, I'm going to show you. I'm like, okay, I'll wait. You know, show me where Trump is racist. Calling, you know what I mean? Like I said, I had a checkered past where I became a felon. So at the same time, I broke the law. I did something illegal. I became a felon. So if the law is you have to go and take a test, become a citizen, and now you can become a legal, you know, if you don't do those things, you don't take that process. Guess what? You are an illegal immigrant. Yeah. So Trump calling someone an illegal immigrant does not make him racist.
No, it doesn't at all. No, it's like, would you rather come into the country legally or illegally? I mean, you have those two choices, right? It comes down to that. Now, people that are coming in illegally, they're criminals, yeah. Period. Come in legally. I mean, do you know how many people come into America every year? A lot. It's not like America's not letting people in. They're letting lots of people in. Just do it legal. Do it the right way. I mean, I think even just for your children, you should be like, yeah, we came in. We did it through the front door. We did it the legal way. Like lots of people come into the country. I'm in Canada. We have lots of legal immigrants coming in, right? Where the debate is illegal versus legal, right? Mm-hmm. So it's insane. But oh yeah, then Trump, you know, and then Trump would be talking about some terrorist group. They're like, oh, he hates all Muslims. You know, he's a xenophobe or whatever, right? They come up with these names all the time. And that's the thing. It seems like in debate, people will just shut you down with just calling you a racist, calling you a bigot, calling you, you know, a hater, calling you. It just seems like they don't even want to engage in discussion anymore. I mean, what about you though, Val? I mean, in your own, like in your own family and stuff, do you see like yourself that you're taking this different approach and the way you see things? Do you get a lot of pushback based on the fact that you're not staying true to, you know, who you are, to your roots? You know, I've heard this from a lot of my black friends that say that, you know, when you come out, you know, you're hated. You're really hated within your own community, that they think you're a sellout or Uncle Tom.
Yeah, I've had cousins block me, unfriend me. You know, you get the little coon emoji people send you. It was actually a black business owner. When I first announced the Woke Journalist website, him and his wife sent $2,000 each. You know, just so that we talked, we did a video, you know, and screenshot and everything. But the minute my narrative with George Floyd and then my narrative with the Atlanta case goes against theirs, they ask for a refund.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this is what happens. And this is the same thing I was talking about with Jay-Z and with the rest of them. Either you're going to stand or you're going to back up because you're afraid of what you're going to lose. You know, the platform did lose. But at the same time, I'm not going to let someone, you know, someone lead how I move forward, because I have my son. He watches everything. I have an oldest son. My youngest son is 4. Okay. You know what I mean? And I have my oldest son is 13. Okay. So, you know, he watches everything I do. So mm-hmm. It's very important that what they tell you, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So he has to always see his father standing.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And I one thing I love about him, he's watched me. He said, I've watched him do spelling bees. I watched him do a piano recital in front of the whole school. And I'm like, you don't get nervous? And he told me, he's like, no. He's like, what can they do? I see. He said, you stand up, you do your thing. I can do the same thing, Dad.
Nice.
And that's what the goal is.
Nice. And so what kind of message do you want to basically, you know, give to, you know, your son and your family and your children? You know, like what kind of legacy do you want to leave, you know, for them to remember you by and what you stood for?
I want to be remembered by, you know, my actions and the things that I do, because I've sat down with my oldest daughter and I sat down with my oldest son and I've told them in detail about my past, you know, everything that I've done, you know, all the mistakes that I made, the time in jail, all of those different things. And, you know, my son is named after me. So I tell him, you got my name so that.
Is he a junior?
No, he's not a junior because he has a different middle name, but he has the same first and he has the same last.
Gotcha.
So I say, when I look up my name, you know, I want to be able to see the great things you've done, because, you know, I'm going to be that example for you.
Yeah.
So everything he does, he's like, you know, like you said, you want me to make your name proud. So I did this, Dad. I did this. And I'm like, yeah. I always tell him I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Period.
That's cool.
So I want to leave a legacy. You know, the Bible instructs us to leave a legacy for our kids.
And what's it like? What's it like with this is the 13-year-old. You have a 13-year-old son, correct? Or is it the 4-year-old? Okay, yes. But like for him, what's it like with his friends? Like everything that's going on? Like, does he tell you kind of what, you know, because I mean, he's obviously a teen, right? So he's like literally moving into that age. So what's it like for him? Like with what he's seeing unfold? Like what's it like with, you know, his friends? Where does he kind of stand on things?
I'm pretty sure if he haven't fell asleep, I sent him a text message to tell him I was going to be live. But
nice.
I think he's listening. But he's very smart. He's definitely, I don't know, even his mother says it, he got my brain. So he's a researcher. He'll call me in the middle of the night. I mean, one day he called me. He's like, Dad, I'm teaching myself Hebrew. I'm like, and this was back when he was like 11.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then another time he was playing Minecraft. He's like, I'm teaching myself JavaScript and coding.
Nice.
So he's the type of person, he's going to do his research even at his young age, and he's going to make the decision, you know, for
himself.
He's
also applying himself. I mean, also he's implying himself, right? I mean, obviously if he's starting to code and stuff, I mean, he's literally going to be really secure in the future. I mean, like you start coding and stuff, I mean, you can get a really good job. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, especially looking at how like technological we're getting, how everything is going online, everything's in the cloud, these type of things. But, you know, it's going to set him up quite nicely, especially if he knows a couple of programming languages. You know, those are the type of things that you kind of keep an eye on and see where it's going. But it looks like he's definitely following in Daddy's footsteps as far as kind of your path.
And this goes back to our original conversation in the first hour. Of the Black community, you know, it's different stuff that I watch my wife. It's certain things that, you know, I have to get on her about, like, cause she loves doing her makeup and stuff. Cause you know, my wife, she used to be a model and all of this other stuff. So she loves putting on her makeup and it was time I'll come home and my son is just sitting Indian style watching her put on the makeup. You know, my daughter, she's sitting there watching cartoons and I go, Shonda, you see what he's doing, right? And she's like, oh, boy, go over there. And I say, can you imagine all the single mothers up there that never, you know, never know? Because she, you know, she's not doing it on purpose.
Yeah,
she's just all in her makeup, you know, getting everything right.
Yep.
And I said, you can imagine all the single mothers, especially in the Black community, that's raising these boys alone. And they never understood, like, he's watching me put on my heels. He's watching this. And you wonder why. You have all these confused males.
Yep.
You have the lack of alpha males that's growing up in the community.
Well, they don't have any good role models at all. I mean, the father figure's gone, or it's just a horrible situation, and they'll usually latch on. I mean, that's why gangs are so prevalent, right? I mean, I always sit there and say, like, look, and this comes down to children and discipline. But if you don't properly, lovingly discipline your children, the gangs will, and it won't be discipline. It'll be a lot worse than whatever you could do, you know? Overall, this idea that, like, you know, the world's looked at it like discipline and abuse are the same thing. It's like, oh, you can't spank a child or whatever. But, I mean, read the Bible. Read, you know, good, loving discipline is a good thing. Because I'll tell you one thing, if you don't do it, they're going to get a heck of a lot worse out in life.
One book that helped me, Jordan Peterson book, 12 Rules for Life and Antidote to Chaos. It's a wonderful book.
Mm.
And he dedicates a chapter in there just for parenting. And one thing that I never thought of that he says in that book, he says, raise a child that other adults can tolerate. Because a lot of people don't know. You ever been to the Walmart or in the store and you got that annoying kid that...
Screaming on the floor, having a temper tantrum, and the parents are just walking around like nothing's going on. And oh yeah, you see some horrible stuff out there for sure.
Okay, so imagine these kids out here. They go to school, and you read about these kids that get bullied, and the teacher allows it. But what is going on at home is a lot of parents aren't raising children that other adults can tolerate. But you want to go work 9 to 5. And send your kids to be you know, under the supervision of an adult that can't tolerate them because you haven't taught them home training.
Yeah. So, no, it's a good point.
And like today, you know, my four-year-old, I told him something and now I'm really, you know, I'm like, I shouldn't have to tell. I know he's four, but he understands. I said, I shouldn't have to tell you twice. Sorry, Dad. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he said, yeah, sorry. You know what I mean? Yeah. He already knows.
Yeah.
Because if I have to tell you twice, that means the police, when you get older, might have to tell you twice. And they're not going to tell you twice. Yeah. They're going to tell you once. And then, you know, where I'm from, they whoop your butt.
Yeah. Well, it starts with respecting the authority of parents. I mean, let's go right to the commandments. Let's go to the Torah. Let's go right to the law of God. Right. I mean, we see it right there. Right. You should respect your mother and father. Right. Exactly. It really does start in the home. And if there's no respect there, then they're not going to respect any other authority, whether it's teachers, police. It doesn't matter. All authority is seemed as, you know, it's trivial. So, yeah, it does. It definitely starts in the home. That's why we see this as an issue with, you know, the family unit. And I mean, this is where Satan has been at since day one, is try to destroy the family unit. Because he knows, man, when you start breaking it up and you start fracturing a family, man, I'll tell you one thing. It gets really tough for those kids to have a fighting chance just because they don't really have that stability. They don't have that foundation. And God created it all along. That's why he said, man, don't have sex out of wedlock. Because he knew, he understood all these parameters. And people like, oh, rules. But it was about our protection, man. Exactly. It was about our protection. It was about our protection for long-term joy, not just happiness. People will say, I want to be happy in life. Well, sorry, you're not always going to be happy. But I'll tell you one thing. You can still have joy even when you're sad.
Mm.
So, I mean, everyone talks about the greatest thing is happiness. It's not, man. God talked about joy, man. He talked about having a life abundantly. And that's the whole thing, is that we follow his law, when we follow his rules of engagement, man, the engagement of life. We prosper, man. We do well. And our children will do really well when they understand that. So, you know, and again, I'm talking about this is done in love. I'm not talking about someone that's abusing their kids and beating them and, you know, all these type of things. But I shouldn't have to, because in this day and age, man, when all of a sudden the media are saying, you know, disciplining your children is basically abusive, that's why they're trying to twist it, man. They're trying to twist creation, you know, globe, this, that, the other thing. Everything to do with creation and the created order of God has been twisted. That's exactly why males and females are up for discussion now. It's like, I don't even know what a male is anymore. I don't even know what a boy is or a girl. I mean, if a girl feels like a boy, then I guess, you know, I guess she's a boy. You know, this is the kind of culture we're living in. But what it's saying is it's 100% direct assault on the created order, creation, and all. And again, when I talk created order, we're talking about the hierarchy in the created order. Man, as the father and as the husband, is the spiritual head of his wife. You know what I mean? So, like, yes, you look at the covering, it's like Christ is over the husband is over the wife, and the wife is over the children. And overall, there's that arching, you know, umbrella, right? But you are the head of the household as Christ is the head of you. These type of authority structures, it's the same thing when God sets up the governance and authority on earth, man. These authority structures are there for a reason. He says, respect them. Know the hierarchy. So in the family, in the world, but it's very clear in scripture that he sets this up. And again, I think it goes a long way if we would, I will say this, man, you don't have to agree with someone to respect them, right? You can give respect. Like you could say to an officer, you might think he is like the stupidest guy, or you think he's totally wrong. You say, I'm sorry, officer. You know how quickly that will go away, you know, or sorry, sir. You know, just by saying sir at the end is giving authority, right? I mean, I don't know if your kids ever do that, like, oh, I'm sorry, dad,
still
or whatever.
I say it to my father. Like, when I talk to him, it's still yes, sir,
you say,
no,
sir?
Yeah.
There you go, right? You know what it is? Because you can say to your father, yes, condescending. Yeah, okay. You know what? But when you say yes, sir, you can't really say that condescending. I mean, like, that's giving a title and giving authority. And that's why I'll tell you one thing they'll say with police, and this is not right across the board, but you say this to a police officer, you just say, sir. Even if you don't even agree, just give him that respect of calling him sir. It will go a long way. It will go a long way with any police officer, because instantly they already know you basically have fallen under that authority. You're giving them respect, and now they're going to proceed. And I'll tell you one thing, it would eliminate a lot of stuff that's going on. But unfortunately, you know, what we're seeing is people thinking that all, you know, police are out there just to abuse and do some really bad stuff. But they're dealing with people that are belligerent, throwing stuff at them, especially with these protests that have been going on and these riots. I mean, people are pelting them with bricks. I mean, I watched it for 3-4 days straight, and I watched many webcams, so I didn't get a media spin at all. I watched it firsthand, and I saw exactly how patient these police officers were for the longest time. They warned, I remember in Portland, man, they warned them 20 times before they started moving forward and tear gassing them, you know?
Yeah.
They warned them 20 times. They said, you know, like, this is time. I mean, whatever it was, the time or whatever. But I remember them. I'm like, how many times are they going to warn these guys? Right. Like, you know, they warn them. And then finally, you know, but no one cared. They're just flipping them off, throwing stuff at them. So, yeah, I mean, eventually this is what's going to happen. But it all comes down to that rule of law. It comes down to authority. And I think we just really, as Christians, man, as believers, we have to respect authority. We don't have to agree. And there's certain ways that we can stand up. And I do believe that we should stand up, you know, for our amendments. I think that protests are good, peaceful demonstrations, all these things are good. But we can always do it out of respect of authority. If there's certain rules, that we try to adhere to those. And quite honestly, if you look in the Bible, every time that these things occurred, it was always done under respect of authority. But they always prospered because they always were vocal, but they did it out of respect. I mean, that was the one thing that a lot of times in the Bible they were known for is, you know, they were just so respectful. You know, and again, sometimes they were trampled on and abused, but also God prospered them. And that's the whole thing. It's like, if God is for us, who could be against us?
Yeah. I mean, it's a process and it's how we're taught. I mean, anytime that I'm pulled over or anything, like, it hasn't happened in a while, but when it do happen, I pull over, I turn off my car. I put the keys on top of my car out the driver's side window. I put the keys on top. And I place my hand on the steering wheel. And, you know, that's something that, you know, in the Black community that we know that we should do. And it's just stubbornness to not to do it. Because until I'm trying to be politically correct, which I'm not used to doing. But yeah. I know this is a sensitive topic, and I know we're running out of time, so I'm trying.
Yeah, we're coming up, rounding it up. So yeah, you can kind of close her out. But yeah, I'm just saying, for me personally, I've had guns pulled on me, man. Yeah. I am not like at all confrontational. I'm not at all threatening. But I remember in Montana, man, we literally had police with their guns pulled on us. Right? We're like, what the heck's going on? I mean, we're from Canada. We're like visiting. All I'm saying is, we're white in a car. We got our guns pulled, and we just instantly went into, yes, officer. What, you know what I mean? We were going to play around.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't anything to do with that, and it was fine, and the encounter was fine. But again, they were just a little concerned because I guess they had, like, you know, another vehicle that matched that description. But I mean, rather than confusing them and say, F you, we didn't do anything wrong, and getting aggressive, making it worse, we just complied, right? And everything was fine. Oh, sorry, you know, we ran the thing, and no, it's not the vehicle. We apologized, and they were cordial about it, and they let us go. But, you know, these type of things. But yeah, maybe continue on with what you're saying as far as finishing off, you know, the conclusions on kind of what you want to get across to everyone based on this really important issue.
This is a conversation that needed to be had. You know, and this is why, you know, Robbie and I are having this conversation, because a lot of people are tiptoeing around the conversation. We can't tiptoe through this. We have to have the uncomfortable conversation in order to bring on change. You know, one of the reasons I didn't support Obama, because he ran on the concept of change and didn't reform anything at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we have to be the change. We have to stand up. We have to talk about the Black Lives Matter. We can't be afraid to talk about it. If you see that this company is running off a platform and using the people, they got $20 million off George Floyd and no one know where the money went. Come on, people, wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up to the truth. It's time to pay attention to what's going on. Division. That's all that's going on.
Yeah.
So yeah. We got wokejournalist.com is to bring on the truth so that we can no longer be confused, because the first thing Jesus told the people was, take heed that no man deceive you.
Correct. Yeah. No, amen. That's awesome. And remember, you know, scripturally as well, you know, test all things, right? Make sure you kind of look at things and really test them. But I think, you know, bottom line is this, that we just need to love on people. We need to sit there and say, all life is precious, man. Stop this kind of infighting where it's like, no, not just Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, white man. Just sit there and say, man, life matters, man. Life is precious, man. You know, let's love one another, man. It doesn't matter what your background is, what your race is. Let's just love on each other, man. That's what we're commanded to do. It says, they will know you by your love, right? Love, man. Just love on people, man. And that's what I'm saying. When it comes down to this discussion and all that, it's just, you just have to do that, man. That's what people respond to, is love. And again, it's going to take us sometimes looking at this stuff that's going on and just really praying for these people, because my belief is this, and this is scriptural, man. It is the God of this world, you know, Satan, that blinds the minds of the, you know, unbelieving as sons and daughters of him, sort of thing. So if that is the case, they're blinded. They can't see. Man, pray that God would open their eyes, man. Like, earnestly pray and love on them and say, Lord, you know, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Because I don't think they know what they do. I mean, to sit there and say that a sinner that's blinded knows what they're doing, they don't. Scripturally, they don't. And I'll tell you one thing, that God does hear prayers, man. And we need to, like, really pray, get on our knees, intercessory, all that, man, and just say, hey, forgive them, Father. Those guys that are ripping down statues, those guys that are doing this, that are burning buildings, you know what I mean? Forgive them. They know not what they do. Like, help them, Lord. Open their eyes, you know, allow them to see. We need to really do that, because this is a spiritual war. There is no doubt, 110%, this is a spiritual war. We wage a war of principalities and powers of high places. No, it's not flesh and blood, man. It's not flesh and blood, right? And remember, the Bible is very clear when it talks about flesh and blood. Guess what, guys? Every one of us, guess what color of blood we have? Red. We're all, you know what I mean? All created in the image of God. We're all the same, man. Don't get bent out by different people's hair color, skin color, or builds or whatever. We're all human, man. We're all people, man. We're all precious in the eyes of God. And I'll tell you one thing, we should all be precious when we look at, and we should look at eternal perspective when it comes to, man, these people are looting and robbing and carrying on like this. If they die in a car accident tonight, they're in big trouble. Not because of the looting and the stealing. It's because they're blinded, man. They don't have that relationship. They don't have that love of Christ, man. We need to pray for them. We need to find unity only in him, only in Jesus Christ. Let's really go out, share the gospel, tell people the good news, man. This world is getting crazier and crazier, but the good news is he's got it all under control, man. And we can be set free by the one that is the truth, the way, the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And that's an amazing thing, man. So just want to throw that out there. Val, man, it's been amazing to have you. Just real quick, share some links and stuff before we wrap up the show. Again, any way that people can get a hold of you, maybe help support you, talk to you a little bit more. Maybe they've got some ideas or they want to help you out financially or prayerfully. Let them know how they can get a hold of you.
No problem. You can find me on Facebook, Val Owens, VALLOWENS, wokejournalist.com, wokejournalist.com. Right at the top, you see fund us. I list how we're funded, just like Wikipedia is funded. We're funded by the people. There's no Google AdSense. There's nobody that's going to be coming telling us what we can post, what we cannot post. None of that. We're funded completely by you. So you can go to wokejournalist.com. You click the fund us link and you can keep us alive. My goal is to be out there on the scene. Everybody's talking about false flags. The goal is to turn this into a publication and to be able to go out there and be on the scene. So I'd just like to thank all of you guys for listening tonight. Thank you, Bobby, for having me on.
Yeah, man. It's been a real blast. We'll have you on again soon, man. Blessings to everyone. Have a good night. I am done. This place. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of